Time for some basketball talk as we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Well, first full day of spring, sun's out, it's great.
Beautiful, right? Outside, get a little cleaning done, walk the dog with shorts on. Oh, just beautiful.
Oh, you're a better man than I if you had shorts on. I'm not quite there yet.
Oh, anytime it gets above 50 degrees in the late winter, early spring, it's great. If it's 50 degrees in, say, September, October, then it's full parka, it's ski hat, it's all that stuff. But flip it around on the other side and you get your 50 degrees, 50-something, then I'm out there in like shorts and a light sweatshirt, loving life.
I love it. That sounds great. Obviously, we only peaked at 49, so I wasn't quite there.
Ah, there you go.
But we'll get there eventually. Well, let's talk about the Celtics. They're back at it tonight, taking on the Kings. But as you wrote at Boston Sports Journal, if they have learned nothing else or need to learn nothing else, it's this, that the isolation game is not the best approach, certainly not for Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I mean, and I think everybody out there kind of understands that, but I think Jason Tatum has shown over and over and over again that he just loves playing isolation basketball. If he could do anything, he would just play isolation all the time. And, you know, give the ball up when he doesn't have anything, but that's his preferred style. But the problem is at the NBA level, it's not working for him. He scores this year at about 41% efficiency. So he's failing 60% of the time in isolation. If he was swinging at a fastball, that'd be great. But in isolation basketball in the NBA, that's terrible. And he and the Celtics just need to make it a point to avoid the isolation when they can. Sometimes it's unavoidable, and that's where your talent has to take over. But I'd rather see him do it in the flow of an offense every once in a while. Because when you do it that way, when you've already beaten the defense down with ball movement and attacking and getting to the rim, then the isolation has more of a tendency to work because it's the boxing equivalent of working the body. And then when you swing for the head, you're going to get the knockout blow. It's kind of the same thing with isolation basketball.
And you pointed out, too, when Marcus Smart pulls up and fires that three,
right,
people lose their minds, but they seem to be okay with Jason Tatum doing it.
Yeah, the numbers are exactly the same in terms of Marcus Smart is 40.9% scoring at in isolation plays. It's exactly what Jason Tatum is. So that little bit of perspective of if you're okay with Jason Tatum and you're not okay with Marcus Smart, well, this year their isolation numbers are exactly the same. And I'm a big Marcus Smart guy, and I'll tell you, I don't want him isolating. So I don't want Tatum isolating at that number either. It's just another way, Rich, for me to say, got to move the ball. And I'll keep saying it, and I'll find new ways to say it if I have to. You got to move the ball. You got to bend the defense. And the Celtics, instead of attacking mismatches, they have to attack holes in the defense. They have to do that and not worry about specific guys all the time. It's more about getting the defense in general out of position. Tatum and Brown catching the ball on the move, taking one dribble, two dribbles at the most, and attacking, and everything else flows off of that.
Is Joe Mazzulla aware of this, or does it really matter? Does it ultimately have to be Jason Tatum deciding he's not going to do it as much?
I'm going to say that if I or anybody else has come up with a concept or discovered a stat, there's a good chance that Joe Mazzulla has already seen it. But it is. It's on the players. The players have to go and execute it. And it's as simple as that.
Well, they get back at it tonight, and it looks like a Robert Williams will be back. So, and this is as close to full strength as they've been for a while.
I mean, the only players that are out are Peyton Pritchard and Danilo Gallinari. Gallinari hasn't played this season, and Pritchard probably wasn't going to play in this game anyway. So this is basically full strength, and it's not entirely fully healthy because you still have to ramp up Robert Williams, and that's going to be a process. And there's only a few games left here, a couple of weeks left to go. So they're going to have to expedite that a little bit. But it is good to have Rob back. We'll see if he gets into that starting lineup. I'd like to see, even if he's an early sub, I'd like to see him there and start and play 5-6 minutes just so we can get 5 or 6 minutes of that group together on the same page, as opposed to him coming in off the bench and still kind of messing with the rotations. Unless, you know, parenthetically, unless Joe Mazzulla just decides, hey, you know what, I'm just going to use Robert Williams off the bench from now on, which would be an interesting decision. I think he's going to be the starter. So I'd like to see him as the starter tonight and moving forward.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown Kings, playing some great basketball. Did you see them being this good this season?
Not this good. And it's a testament to the coaching, first of all. It's a testament to the way the team has been constructed. And it's the work that those guys have put together. I think Domantas Sabonis has been fantastic for them. De'Aaron Fox is super clutch. And it just keeps hitting these game-winning, game-tying shots. Guys like Kevin Huerter, who is injured, and I don't know if he's going to play in this game, which would be a very advantageous thing for the Celtics. Huerter has been fantastic. Harrison Barnes as a mainstay. Keegan Murray has played really well. I mean, they have really, really had basically everything working. It's a really good group. The big question is obviously how far can they go this year and can they keep it going next year? Cause there tends to be a little bit of a step back, but this is a surprise, just in how good they are. But like Sabonis with his playmaking from the center spot and everybody else kind of playing off of those guys. I mean, it's really fun. Their offense has been spectacular and fun to watch. They've been great. Can't say enough about the Kings.
So 10 games left in this regular season for the Celtics. So what's the legitimate goal they can have? Is it simply to make sure they secure home court advantage if they end up taking on the 76ers, as it would seem likely?
I think at this point, it's the number one thing I want to see is them going into the playoffs having rediscovered what they had at the beginning of the season. And at this point, you can't control what the Sixers do, although their loss last night kind of helps the Celtics. If the Celtics handle their business, they'll get the second seed. There's an outside chance that they can get the top seed. But the more important thing is, can the Celtics, over the next 10 games, get themselves back together on the same page? Can they get back to defending well, rebounding well, and playing the style of offense that we saw at the beginning of the season, where there was a lot of ball movement and the stuff that I said before, guys catching the ball on the move, not isolating, not sitting there slowing the offense down. If they can get back to that, then the seeding almost doesn't matter, because that level of Celtics basketball, those guys are untouchable. If Jason Tatum is playing like that, then he's playing at an MVP level. But if they go into the playoffs as the top seed, but playing this way, if they just stumble into the top seed, that's great that they're the top seed, but I'll still have little confidence that they're going to make it through all four rounds, because they will not have demonstrated playing good basketball. So that is the priority.
We lost an NBA legend today. Willis Reed passed away at the age of 80. Not just a great player, but when you talk about presence on the court, boy, he had that over and over.
Yeah, you can tell what a person meant by how he's remembered at a time like this. And, you know, you see the Knicks fans talking about what kind of leader he was. Obviously, author of one of the greatest moments in basketball history, coming back in, kind of limping his way through a playoff game. That was, you know, that's Willis Reed meant the world to the Knicks and their success in the 70s and is, you know, a true legend of the game. It's kind of sad to see so many of these guys who have built the NBA and carried it through some of its tougher times. You know, that era where Willis Reed played is not the greatest era in NBA history. To carry that league through that portion and to get it to the next spot, it's almost like, you know, wading waist deep through a swamp with whatever you're carrying up over your head so you can hand it off to somebody on the other side to go run with it. It's very kind of underappreciated work that they did, and he's a true legend of the game.
Well said. John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics. Let's see if they heed your advice tonight, John, against the Kings.
Let's hope.
All right, enjoy that sunshine and warm weather. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, sir.
That is John Corrales with us on Downtown.